I'm going to read from Romans 12, 9 through 21. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I like that. That's good. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud and enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. So the scripture Anya just read is pretty intense, really, when you think about it. Pretty intense. Don't just pretend to love others, but really love them. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Never be lazy. Whew. Bless those who persecute you. How easy is that? Bless those that persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Don't be proud. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Dear friends, never take revenge. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So, if someone can live up to that, which leads to the title of my message, is I think that they should earn a degree in growth, spiritual, personal growth. Title of my message was how to obtain a degree in growth. So I really think they should. And here at Grace Christian Fellowship, let's see if you can guess this. If we could hand out degrees, what do you think the three degrees would be? Love, grow, and go. Yes. Love, grow, and go. So on that premise, I just want to, today, we've been going through this series here, and we're really going just to vision, just cast again, just reestablish this is who we are as Grace Christian Fellowship, and where we stand and just different things. Sarah last week talked about love. I'm going to be talking about grow, and next week, Anya is going to be talking about go. But we just really want to communicate and just always reestablish what our vision is. You know, just make that vision clear, exactly where it is, where we are. So we believe that these things are so fundamental that you should be able to hold on to that vision. And that vision should help keep you from losing your way. And there's so many things that can keep us from going, losing our way, that we could do it. And so last Sunday, Anya and Steve, they were going to go to band, or they did go to band anyway, and they were originally going to go. They knew they were going to go to band. They go to I checked with them. They checked websites and all that, and we found a route where the roads were better, and so they got there just fine and followed a route. They reroute through Maupin rather than going over 26, and then they go there, and after they go that route, everything just every route just gets pummeled. And so they end up staying, I think, an extra day. And on the way, then they come on the way back. And even on the way back, somehow a turn was missed. And they end up going right into the heart of the worst of it. But it's all open and going. But still, they know that they're going home, right? So even though there was a little reroute, and they went this way, they still knew exactly where they were going. They were going home. They're going there, they go there. And the same way, when we know what our vision is, when we know where we're going and what we're doing, even if life starts pummeling, starts hitting you from different directions, you still know, okay, I sort of had to do this, but let me get back on track. There's where I'm headed. I'm headed home. You know, I'm headed towards the things that God has called me to do. Whether it's just life, whether it's our own personal, you know, I'll just say whether it's sin that keeps encroaching, besetting sins that get on you, that keep besetting, you keep coming and coming. Guess what? We just get our vision clear again, and boom, we go ahead. That's sort of why just that statement I made, that to be able to, if we hold on to that vision, we're not going to lose our way. Even when it seems like we're going all over, we're not going to lose our way. Today I'm going to be talking to you about how we grow and what that vision should look like. If you could listen to one main thing during all of it, because it's not always, you know, I'm going to be trying to cast vision and other things, but if you listen to one main thing, it would be the fact, the contrast. Because there's a way that God wants us to grow that often doesn't look like what the world would have us grow. So just be listening for that. If there's anything, we want to be a church where we grow the way God wants us to and not the way the world tells us to. So with that, the first thing I want to do is talk about what opportunities we have here at Grace already. Maybe you don't know, or maybe you forgot about something, and many of you will go like, yeah, I don't know about that. There's some things maybe you don't. There's opportunities. I also want to talk about, and this excites me too, what the future holds for us. And as the staff have talked about things, but you know, so it's not just all me, but where do we think God has taken us? What is that vision for the future? And then, just what are some of the biblical markers for growth? What are the biblical ones? You know, not again, I'm using the play on degree, but, you know, often the world says you have a degree, you're all good. I'll tell you a little pet peeve of mine is I've met people who have master's degrees that still don't know how to formulate a paragraph, a proper paragraph when they write. So it's like, just because you have a piece of paper does not necessarily mean anything. Well, they may be great in their field of study, but it's just sometimes surprising. So before I talk about these opportunities, first, what do we mean by grow? Grow, two things. Anyone know besides Kelly or someone? Anyone know there are two main categories of growth? Spiritual, physical, that could sort of fit in. So I'll say it's grow in relationship with God, and what would be the other one? The others. What's the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Growing in relationship with God and others. So when we're talking about grow, when you hear us talk about love, grow, go, when you hear grow, that's what we're talking about. Growing in your relationship with God and your relationship with others. So what opportunities do we have here? And I will never be able to cover, well, not in, I won't say ever, but not in this time I have allotted, cover everything, because some of them are so small. You know, if John and Doreen decide to just go hang out with Todd and Sean, there's growth that happens there. It may just be that they just went and hung out at the beach, but there's growth that happens. Or there's so many little things like that that I just don't have time to run through. But we'll hit a few key things. One of them, of course, is what's coming up here at the end of the month is life groups. I'll tell you, those life groups can be powerful. They can be powerful times of growth. You know, here you listen to us talk and maybe you have a little response, come to the altar, but sit there and have the opportunity to learn one-on-one and ask more intimate questions and to share your burdens and what your thoughts are. And then someone else goes, oh, I never thought of it that way. And then they have this and the other thing, and we grow. And we grow and we grow and we grow in those times. If you're not part of something like a life group, again, even if it's not official here, if you're not involved in that, I tell you, you want to grow, That's what you do. You get involved in a small group of people where you spur one another on in faith. We also have, I put in my notes here, special groups. I didn't know what else to call it. There's probably a better title. Sort of like life groups, but maybe a little different. We have, and we'll, I just need to get together with some people. Well, now the kitchen's sort of mostly up and running. We start up with men's breakfast again. Again, just a great time, you know, just for men to get together and share things. The women have their Christmas parties that they do. My wife, she's out there. She always does a women's Christmas party and other things like that throughout the year. We have some other things, too, that we have. And I'll just tell you, you want to talk about growth. If you haven't come this Friday night, we had our thirst time. And I'll tell you, if you haven't come out to one of those, who has come out to one of those? And would you guys say you've been blessed when you come out? And again, I mean, you may not come every time. You may go, oh, an hour and a half of prayer and worship. Maybe you don't like, but I'll tell you, it's they're great times. Great times of growth. Even this last Friday, I know that God spoke to people and touched them. I could spend a lot of time. Of course, that's something that I've had a passion for in Anya for years. So I'll just stop there just to say that those are times where we can grow. Where we just take time. You know, we get so busy. Just to take an hour and a half and let God say what he wants to say. Do what he wants to do. You want to talk about opportunity for growth? It's huge there. We have work opportunities. We have the work day coming up. And I know it may not seem like much, but I'm not female, so I can't speak to this. But I know men, typically, we're probably going to bond better over doing a project together than we will, you know, going and, I don't know, doing whatever else. So it's just a great time. You know, our work days and other work projects. We have the remodel stuff going on. And yesterday I was able to help Dean. Dean Lundberg came and I'm helping him out. My God has gifted me to be a teacher and I'm teaching him to lay down flooring now. So he is now going to, I know it's going to happen. He's going to decide to put new flooring in his house. And then, of course, he's going to call me every trouble he has and I'm going to have to help him out. But there's been other people helping with that. We have, well, Court Kelly's been helping a lot. We have Tony Bloker. We have Jim's been helping. We've had some people from Glacier Vita de Fe. Bud, if you're out there watching, thank you for the help you've given. Todd has helped. Todd's come out and helped too. Yeah, we had Todd using a table saw. Yeah, for those of you, yeah. But we are here, I'll just say to that, we are here as the Bible says that pastors, and for some other people here, are to equip God's people for works of service. So guess what? We're here to help equip you. So many, many people with remodel, even people from other churches. There's opportunities. We have people growing relationship working with Sarah. That, you know, there's people. Sarah organizes so much. If you're part of that, you know who you are. Sarah calls you and says, hey, can you do this and that and put stuff in the back seats and usher and all that type of stuff. So all types of things, work opportunities. And we grow in relationship with one another. Tony Bloker and I have these deep theological discussions while we're, of course, sometimes we don't get work done because we get so caught up in our conversations. Yeah, Kelly's like, yeah, I noticed that. Well, he's ripping up flooring or something. Tony Bloker and I are talking about Jesus. And so the thing is there's things we grow with each other as we do these things. I think those are great. We grow in our ministry opportunities. One of the big things we've been doing a lot more of lately is reaching out to the homeless community. And I'll tell you what, people are growing, first of all, closer to God because they're seeing God's heart for people. And also, they're growing in a relationship with people they normally wouldn't. We grow as we go and do ministry. As we do the things that God has us to do, we grow. We have George Middle School. And I think pretty much everyone here has participated in that some way, whether giving money or going and helping with things, putting together food boxes and baskets and other stuff. We have other things, ministry opportunities. And I'll just tell you, you can grow in these, but one of the best ways I've seen people grow and have God change their life is on mission trips. And, well, I think it's probably too late to get in on board with the one now, but there's going to be a mission trip here in July, right? July, I can't. Mission trip. And if you've never been on a mission trip, just to take a week or two, however long it is, different ones, but and go and just do ministry and just focus on that and go to people who probably need help more than you do, it changes your life. You grow in relationship with God and relationship with others. So these are just some things. Get involved in these things and help you maybe earn your degree in growth. Your degree in growth. So tell you, one of the things I'm excited about is what the future has in hold for us as Grace Christian Fellowship. I'm excited about that. I know just with some things, we definitely, as much as it may seem, we're still sort of on hold. We started doing some children's stuff, but to do more to reach families. And I'm excited about looking forward to that. And whether it all pan out, but at least I have vision, and I've talked to people, and no one seems to disagree with me about being able to, a way to quickly turn our basement into an area that becomes a children's area. Just have some walls, some folding walls out in the basement. Whether this happens or not, that's what I'm letting you know. That's exciting to me because then we can have children come and they have an area that just immediately feels like their own, and they can engage in relationship with other and relationship with God. And then we have those families that come in that we grow in relationship with. So doing stuff more for families. And working on trying to get more going for youth and more youth coming. Those things are exciting to me as I look and see the growth that we have there and the impact we can have on lives. Because I'll tell you what, those people who have kids, I mean, I've only done foster care, so that's about all I can speak to. And I'll tell you what, that's pretty stressful. You know, and for those of you who have kids, which is most of you, you know, those are stressful times. And people need to be ministered to. They need to grow. Create opportunities for them to grow in relationship with God and others. Another thing that this community needs is, and we have so many things, but addiction. We really want to get stuff going with addiction, where we can have people come together, whether that be for drug and alcohol, also something that's going on. I know it's Sunday morning, we're in church, but you know, there's many people who are bound by pornography. Again, I'm not trying to make anything seem better or worse, but not just like dabbling, but people who are truly addicted. Just it has hold of their life. And it's just such a hidden thing. And to provide opportunities where those people, men and women, would have the opportunity to be able to be set free from those things and be able to work through that. And then, of course, obviously, drug addictions. There's people with gambling addictions. I mean, I know a guy I work with that he often goes and gambles his whole paycheck away. Goes to the casino and it's gone and then doesn't know what to do for... Luckily, we get paid every week, but, you know, missing bills. I mean, people, there's addictions out there that people need help with in our community right here. And I'll tell you, the drugs and pornography are huge. We really want to get some stuff going for that. The other thing, I think we need to be able to grow better. Now, the thing is, we may do well at some things, but that doesn't mean we need to not grow farther. So that's, again, that's part of growing. I'll just tell you another thing I think we need to grow in, because I think it's part of who we are called to be as Grace Christian Fellowship. We need to grow in our ability to minister to those with mental health problems. Me, it's a passion. I think it's been no secret, but I'll just let you know that now for at least I think 2 years now, we have our strategic prayer ministry We have been praying for. I mean, occasionally we pray for other things as we feel led, but our focus has been praying for God to come and set people with mental health problems free. So we meet. Three times a week, we get together and we pray. Over Zoom, we get together once a month. And that's what we're doing. We want to see God break free, just be able to set people free from just those things that are troubling them. And I could say more about that, but I just tell you that excites me to think about the fact that we are going to be helping people who have not been able to find freedom any other way. That excites me to even try and learn that challenge to grow. Because guess what? I don't know, besides the prayer thing, I know hardly any answers to what to do. I'll be honest with you. And honestly, sometimes those are the best places to be. Because who do I have to rely on? God. So we'll probably be able to share more, but there's so many things that I think God has for us as a church. I'll tell you what, and if you have vision, come and share it with us. We'd love to hear what you think, what you think's going on, and where God's leading us. But I'm excited in what God has for us to grow into as we develop our relationship with Him and our community. So, what are some biblical markers for growth? How do we know if we're growing? Here's some of the meat and potatoes. Rather than just putting out what we do and some vision, what are some biblical markers for it? So, just like Anya and Steve going to band and then trying to get back home, they had a target, they knew they were going, right? So if we know where we're going, then at least we can, if we get off track, we can readjust or we can do what we need to do. So there's some great biblical markers that let us know if we're off track. One I just want to talk about is the Beatitudes. By the way, my message got changed because Kelly, well, it wasn't necessarily in the prayer time when God spoke to him, but just a pretty powerful thing about, he shared it there about the Beatitudes, and I'm like, he's doing that. I'm just like, I need to change up my message a little. So I won't be able to do justice in the time we have to the Beatitudes, but I just want to read through here, Matthew 5:2-12, and then just sort of go quickly through there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So let's just take a few of these things line by line. Again, not be able to do great justice, but I just want to point out here some of this stuff. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the thing is, I will say that one of the things about that is often the world, to be poor in spirit, people would not, that would not be a worldly looked at thing, to be poor in spirit. It's often even not what the world would say that that's a God, an attribute you want to search for if you're trying to grow. But even many TV preachers and other people wouldn't say that is a thing to grow. It's all about me, me, me. But here's a for those who are poor in spirit. And the thing is, I think what's great about that is once we realize that we are poor in spirit, whose spirit do we need to realize? Who do we rely on? God's spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit. I think that's one of the amazing parts there. So if we want to grow, we need to be poor in spirit and let God's spirit come and grow us. So blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, we live in a society where mourning is talked about, but rarely truly encouraged. Yeah, you mourn for a few days, now you need to get on with your life. Last year, we did a series just about a year ago. We did a series on lamenting. So if you guys remember that, just some of the things, how that's healthy to go through these things. And while the world may tell you just put that stuff behind, but to actually engage some of our feelings and move, work through that is important. And our society, again, says stay, mourn for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, and if that doesn't work, let's get you medicated. In fact, some of it has to do with insurance, so I'm not dissing any, realize that, anyone in the healthcare industry like that, that's in the mental health part, but often it has to do with insurance. So, yeah, you meet with somebody five times, and if you're not through it, well, that's all we cover, so you need to put them on medication, because all we're going to cover is 5 visits or 10 visits, and that's it. Anything more than that, it's not covered, so boom. Even our healthcare industry is often forced to look to medication. And I'm not anti-medic. Some people, the medications are amazing and life-changing, so I'm not an anti. I don't want you to hear that I'm saying, oh, throw your meds out. God's going to take care of it all. But the thing is what are we looking to? Are we actually willing to mourn? Are we willing to mourn? So that's really what I'm getting at. And I'm not really, I don't get distracted too much by that. But that's just a sign that the world tells us, no, we're not. But here it says, blessed are those who mourn. There's power in taking time to properly walk through mourning. Sometimes we need the help of others, growing in relationship with others to work through our problems, the things that are happening. Our interdependence is part of how God causes growth. Proverbs talks about as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's the way God has it set up. We are supposed to be there to walk through people during their times of mourning. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meek is a word that we don't use much, and often I think we might misunderstand how it's used in the Bible, and just little tools you can look up on Google now, real easy. But Webster, from Merriam-Webster Dictionary, he was a Christian, actually had the Bible memorized, and you go back to some of the early, I think the 1868 version of the thing, and they have great definitions that relate to words we use in the Bible. So the definition from Merriam-Webster from 1868, I believe, is that meek is to be mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, giving to forbearance, which is sort of these things we just talked about, under injuries. So giving to be soft and all these things, even under injury. Does that mean I need to be passive in every situation? No, but this is not what the world tells us. This is not the way the world tells us to grow. But here the Bible tells us to give in even under injury, to be a mild spirit. So let's move on to verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This is a true unselfish kind of righteousness. So we can do the right thing. It's not just like we do the right thing just because we know it's right, or it makes us feel good, which that's often what the world would think. Oh, I did something good for somebody, so I feel good. It makes us look good. Hey, I can look what I did. I gave $500 to some charity. It's not about making us look good. It's not because it's a politically correct thing to do, because that's what the rest of society or peer pressure. It's not that type of righteousness. It's totally different. And not I do not think I'm the epitome of righteousness, but I'll just use an example. So going out and feeding the homeless, God had a specific thing. He spoke to me that I went and started doing that. It had nothing to do with going and trying to look good or make myself feel better or any of that. It was simply God asked me to do it, and so I did it. So there's righteousness. Now, there's all these... The thing is, I have other people who come and often try and twist that to be something different, to be more of the politically correct type stuff, and to be about making feel good or look good and that. And it's like, no, no, that's not what it's about. God asks me to do it. He asked me to communicate his love through a meal. That's it. And see, that's the type of righteousness we're talking about, where it's not just because it looks good, feels good, any of that, just that we're doing the right thing because God has told us to do it. And that's not usually the way it happens in the world. So, real quick, just a couple last ones. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We live in a world that often talks about peace, but people aren't really for it. You look at groups, I'll just tell you to take an honest look, groups that are talking peace, and most of the time you're going to find that they use dissension to try and get their peace. They create dissension among groups, they create division, and then they say, oh, but we're for peace, but now we're going to divide half the country on the issues. It's like, you know, so I just tell you that we need to be peacemakers and true peacemakers. Not just doing something there. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. We need to do the right things no matter what society says about them. No matter how much persecution we feel, we need to do the right thing. The Bible says that the gospel is an offense. We just talked about being peacemakers, but there are some things as a Christian that could be offensive. But does that mean we have to change the message? No, we may need to find new ways to communicate it and to be able to communicate the gospel in love and that. But guess what? We just might be persecuted, and that causes us to grow. I'll tell you, when I'm visiting a group, somebody who I knew who was involved in a lifestyle that he knew I wouldn't agree with, but in the end, I was able to communicate love. Took 2 years. But I was able to communicate love. So I need a couple volunteers to hand out some stuff here. I just want you to be looking through those. So how do we get to growth? There's just two scriptures, one on each side. I want you to take time today, even. Worship teams are going to give a little bit of time, maybe just a couple minutes, but for you to look at that. And just go, where do I need to grow, or how can I grow? Look through these scriptures. Meditate on them. I'd also encourage you to take them home this week and spend time just saying, God, how can I grow in these things? It's just the Romans 12 passage that Anya read, and then also the Beatitudes. So we can just take those home. Look at them now for a couple minutes. Take them home and just allow God to speak to you about how you can grow in relationship with him and relationship with others. So, Lord, I just pray right now that, Lord, you would truly, as I prayed earlier in our meeting, that, Lord, we are here so people can experience you. And, Lord, I just pray right now that, Lord, people can experience you through your word, through the meditation, through this worship, to experience you in a way that would grow them in closer relationship with you and others. Amen.